That music, of course, only means one thing. That means you're listening to the High Spot Podcast. Catch us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast, as well as Brain Stew Radio Network, and coming soon on iTunes to listen to my tag team partner and one member of the Jersey Wrecking Crew, Jeff Martin. I am Brian Berger. Thank you so much for listening. Jeff had a huge surprise to give us, and Jeff, I'll let you deliver to the audience what kind of surprise that was.
All right, but listen, man, I deliver, okay? I'm not one of those creepy politicians that just make promises, empty promises, okay? I said I was going to deliver the biggest podcast ever so far here on the High Spot Podcast, and by God almighty, I did, because we got Jordan Harbinger joining us this week, and he is from The Art of Charm. You can listen to him on Podcast One and also on iTunes, and you can follow him on Twitter at The Art of Charm. Jordan Harbinger joined us today. The man, the myth, the legend, graces with our presence.
Oh, and it was a great conversation with him because we learned so many things, you know, of the do's and don'ts. We've gone through our experiences in terms of dealing with relationships, which, you know, Jordan deals with as well as part of what he does in terms of boot camps that he does in Los Angeles for The Art of Charm. And we learned the main things of not only what you say and don't say to women, but the same thing, the most important thing that he studied to get to this point is basically body language. And sometimes we take for granted, depending if we're having a good day, we're feeling good, or we're just tired and exhausted because we're feeling run down, we're burning the candle at both ends. It's amazing how important body language is. And the thing and the question that everybody always asks themselves, Jeff, and you and I constantly go back and forth on this and debate, not on air but off as well, is confidence something that you can actually learn, or is it just something you're born with? Sometimes we think, you know, we see these athletes or these movie stars, or we see just people, you think, you know, the life of the party, they walk into the room and everybody knows who they are, and you're like, man, wouldn't I want to be that guy? He just has that it. But can you actually learn that it? And according to Jordan, it is possible.
Well, then also too, at the end of the day, some of the biggest people that have the most confidence tend not to be, you know, who they tend to be, who they are. So that's also another thing too, because they put on a facade, they put on a different character. So that's also interesting. But basically the main thing is we learned a lot about confidence, charisma, charm, confidence. So to me, Jordan Harbinger just enlightened us, and, you know, to all those people there that are wondering, you know, what can I do to, you know, change my persona? What can I do here, you know, to make myself better, just a better person in general? And this is what Jordan Harbinger teaches, and it's on his podcast, and also too on
his Twitter account,
yeah, and on his also on his webpage too, because there's a lot of free stuff on there, man, that you can take a look at, and you can also, you know, reference to, and if you like it, join the boot camps, which I know Brian, you were talking about with him too.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna sign up.
Yeah, and also too, like the fan mail, you can also, you know, email him too, and I'm telling you, man, the guy, honestly, he responds right away, so he's really good with that. And, you know, again, Jordan Harbinger, successful man. I mean, come on, he's someone that we want to be here in the podcast world, and why not take advice from a guy who's got a top 100 podcast on iTunes? I mean,
and speaking of advice, you're talking about all the information there is pretty much, he gives a lot of things away for free,
yeah,
which you wouldn't normally see with people who give that types of, you know, not necessarily dating advice, but advice in general. Usually nothing's ever free. He gives a lot of information out there, and he mentioned his boot camps, which I'm going to sign up for once I find the time, but they're weekly long. It's a huge commitment, and it's for people, like you said, who are looking towards improving themselves internally, not just physically. And it's just great talking to him. He's such a down-to-earth guy, and it's really funny when we spoke to him how he really started up with this whole thing, because everybody has that I wouldn't say that funny story, but that manner of how everything started. And when you talk to Jordan, it's amazing when you look at where he started to where he is now. You wouldn't have thought that the two would have crossed.
No, I mean, we've all been there, Bri. We've all had that situation where we've had that girl we couldn't talk to, the girl we couldn't look at in the eye, that girl that we thought was just off limits to us because, hey, you know, she's probably like off limits to us, you know?
And that job interview, we're getting nervous for because we really want it. It pays well, and it's our dream job, too.
Exactly.
You don't want to blow it.
How do you branch out? How do you show your boss, the person that's hiring you, how do you show him that confidence? How do you show him, you know,
that you're the guy posture? For the job?
Exactly. How do you show that you're the man? So here's my challenge to you guys. If you truly want to catch any kind of advice from this podcast, and this is a very special one, too, because this is the full blown-out interview with Jordan Harbinger, is, first of all, guys, look in the mirror. Swallow that pride and realize, you know what? You know, I might just need that kind of advice from Jordan. And you know what? Once you do that, hey, feel free to give us a click and check out Jordan Harbinger. And it was great, man. It was a great day talking to Jordan. And, you know, we...
And I definitely swallow my pride every single time I do the show with you, Jeff. So, you know, I learned the hard way. But it was great sitting down, talking to Jordan. We, you know, he's really busy doing a lot of obligations, you know, coming from the West Coast over here to the East Coast. So we snuck around, we grabbed him, and we had a few minutes to talk with him. And...
yeah, in studio too, which was great. And here it was, the Jersey Wrecking Crew talking to Jordan Harbinger from The Art of Charm.
All right, so Brian, I promised you this is probably our biggest show ever. And
you see that for every show.
No, but still. So, but this one is, though. I'm honestly telling you the truth when I'm saying this. And we have Jordan
First
Harbinger. We have Jordan Harbinger from The Art of Charm. Catch him on Podcast One. And that's actually how I came about you.
It is.
And yeah, and basically, it's a little... you know, a little short there. I was going through a breakup, and gotcha. You know how when you go for a breakup, sometimes you go online and look for advice. And,
yeah.
And be like, what's the 10 best ways to get over a breakup or so? So
or how to get her back.
Oh, exactly. Or I'm a huge podcast listener, and I'm really a fan of Podcast One, and I came up under your show, and just so happened that I actually, you know, connected one of the shows, and I was like, wow, this is some pretty good advice. And like I said, one of the things that you said was like, now you have this free time, you know, do something. Take the cooking class that you've always
right,
wanted to
yeah.
do.
Start the wrestling podcast you've always wanted.
Exactly. So, you know,
we
that's how I
stopped.
Came about. That's how I came about you. And it's a pleasure to have you on. And you know, thanks a lot for coming on,
Jordan. You know, Jeff's already said it, and he's kind of made it clear that, you know, we appreciate you coming in, taking time out of your day, because when you're busy, you have a lot of obligations, and you do a lot of things on the side as well. Just not just with work, but with Art of Charm. The thing I wanted to ask you about is that. You do it. You're the co-founder with AJ as well, who
yes,
does it with you.
Right.
Who came up with the concept, and where did it go? Like, from for us, we're starting this from the ground up. It's our baby.
Yeah.
What were those kind of stages early like for you and
yeah,
AJ?
Yeah, sure. So when I was working for the – I had an internship at a law firm here, mm-hmm. and I wasn't the smartest guy in the room, definitely was not the biggest hustler. I wasn't lazy or anything. I had a great work ethic. I outworked everybody in law school as well, but – the people who were working at this firm were really sharp. And the guy who hired me was never in the office, even though lawyers are supposed to bill. I was an attorney. You're supposed to bill hours, you know, in 6-minute increments. And I thought, like, all right, what's the deal here? This guy's never in the office. How come he's one of these a top partner making a lot of money? So one day, HR made him, like, take me out for coffee because he was supposed to be my mentor, which is just BS. Like, I was thinking, like, we're going to be on the roof doing oyster shooters like Matthew McConaughey and Leo. Meanwhile, he's, like, never there, takes me to Starbucks, and he's on his BlackBerry the whole time to ask me whatever you want. So I said, how come you're never in the office, but we're supposed to bill hours, and yet everybody says you make a lot of money and you're a top partner at this firm? You know, like, what's going on here? Do you just work from home? And he's like, oh, I bring in all the deals, I bring in all these clients, I bring in tons of different, you know, business into the firm. And I thought, wait a minute, I thought that you worked really hard, got really good skills, got to the top, then .. country club, and you know everyone. But it turns out you make relationships all along the way. So I figured if I figure out how to master the relationship game, I can get connections, then get to the top of the law game that way, bringing in deals rather than just trying to outwork everybody who's already working 20 hours a day. So he brought me in and sort of started to teach me a little bit of that. And then I ran into AJ, and I was reading about body language and networking and relationships and connections and all that stuff. And I ran into AJ, and I started telling him about this stuff, and he was like, this is really interesting. And he's like, it's kind of like what I do with women. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, yeah, eye contact, nonverbal communication, all this stuff. And I was totally mystified. And so we started comparing notes, and it turns out that the networking stuff was really similar to a lot of the dating stuff. And after a couple of months, we started the Art of Charm, the podcast. This is almost 10 years ago. And we started talking about
it. 10 years ago.
Yeah, I know.
That flies, man.
I know. We started talking about all these topics on the show. And then he was like, hey, you know, we should start teaching people this stuff because everybody's asking us about it. So we did. We started teaching people about this. So the whole thing was kind of AJ's idea to make it into a business. And it was his idea to do the show, which is mostly what we focus on now in our workshops out in L.A.
When you talk about, you know, the workshops, what kind of I mean, I saw on the website it's like a boot camp. So yeah. How long is the boot camp? What does it entail? I see you have two choices. You can either go via the relationship or you can go to the business side. So it's very funny too, because here we have probably one person that would go to one boot camp and the other would go to the other one. So what
I would go to both.
What does I probably would hit up too. Which, like, what exactly do both entail?
Sure. So they're actually the same program. There's just two different brochures, because a lot of guys are like, I need to show this to my boss. I need to show this to my girlfriend.
Gotcha.
And she's not going to like the one. So you learn the same skills, and there's 100% overlap in networking, relationships, dating relationships, all that stuff is very, very, very similar. And so 30 to 50% of our clients are married. There's a lot of guys who come in for business, a lot of guys who come in for relationship stuff. So the boot camp is 5 days, actually 6 days. It's in LA. It's residential. So guys stay in the houses that we have in LA, and so accommodations are included. Mm-hmm. And it's like you get up, you do a little workout, you know, you get class all day, drills, exercises, then everybody goes out at night and stuff with our coaches. And it's really cool, because it's not about like picking up chicks. It's about, like I said, 30 to 50% of our clients are married or in relationships. So it's all about getting to know people, learning how to connect with people, develop rapport and things like that. We get a lot of business guys, we get a lot of single guys, and we also get a lot of military and intelligence and sales guys and corporate guys. So it's a cool mix of people from everywhere.
Now, when you say you guys go out, and for example, to the field and you're with coaches, as a coach, you're going out there with somebody, you've given them the tools, they've learned, that they've practiced, all right, now time to put those rules into application and let's see how much you've learned theoretically. How difficult is it, and I'm assuming a majority of them are guys coming to these boot camps.
Yeah.
How difficult is it in terms of a coaching standpoint to say, like, you know, the old expression, you could lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
Right, yeah.
You know, at what point is it that they're getting in their own way and you have to kind of go back and break it back down again? Because it is more psychological than anything. Ourselves internally close ourselves down to a situation that we're uncomfortable with.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's always the you can lead a horse to water problem, but what we try to do is screen out the guys who really don't want to ever drink. And that's pretty easy, because a lot of guys will come call and be interested, and they'll just come up with excuse after excuse about why they can't do it. Oh, it's too far. I don't have time. Oh, it's really expensive. And we try to accommodate that. I mean, you can't make money fall from the sky, but people can pay over time or whatever. But if people really keep coming up with excuses, it's just like, oh, you're more comfortable with the problem than attacking the problem. You know, that more comfortable with the problem than the solution, really. And that's fine. It sucks, but it's not my problem. You know, it's their problem. And so we have a steady stream of guys that are really ready to come in, learn the stuff. They know it's going to be scary and challenging, but they'll do it anyway. So we just try to not deal with the guy. Like, if I had a good friend who really, really needed help in this area, but was not going to be open to it, I just wouldn't even bother. And I see this a lot, even in circles of friends. Recently, a friend of mine, really cool guy, really sharp guy, lives in LA. He's got a bunch of really, really cool friends, and I went out with a bunch of them, and they're all young, successful people, and they were like, oh, Martin should do your workshop. Martin should do your workshop, this guy that wasn't there yet. And they're like, oh, he really needs it. He's such a nice guy. You know, he's always having trouble with women. He's always asking us for advice. He's always having these, you know, one dates, never getting a second date, always has trouble, blah, blah, blah. Well, this guy shows up, and I'm thinking, we'll see what happens. You know, maybe he'll be ready to do it. Maybe he'll be really excited. He shows up. They all can't wait to tell him about Art of Charm. And the first thing he says is, yeah, that sounds like you got a lot of losers over there. You know, I definitely don't need that. Ha ha ha. Like laughing at it, making fun of me and what I do. And I was just like, if you had any idea how much your friends were just talking about how bad you need this, you'd be really fucking embarrassed right now.
That's also being insecure too, because
super insecure.
It's all because if you're obviously too, your pride is going to get in the way.
Yeah.
You know, because, oh, well, I'm not associated with this. Well, obviously, you know what? Something's not going on right in your life that, you know, people are recommending you to do this, you know? So I think the first thing you have to do is, you know what, get that macho attitude or that pride and open yourself to do something like that.
The guys who need it most generally tend to be the guys that will never come in. And then there's kind of and they're usually the guys at the bottom of the social hierarchy that don't really, their level of social intelligence is so low that they don't even see it. They literally don't even perceive it. They know they're not at the top, but they have no idea how far down the totem pole they really are. And those guys I ignore, because they don't want help. They don't want to face a problem. It's a huge pain in my butt to even talk to them about it, so I just don't. then there's a big bracket above that where they're like, look, there's a lot going right in my life, but there's some other stuff that could be better. I want help with it. And those guys sign up right away, or at least dive into the show and check out The Art of Charm, the podcast, start trying the stuff, applying it. And then there's guys at the top of the social hierarchy, and those guys usually sign up without even any hesitation, which is counterintuitive. You'd think those guys would go, oh, that's cool, but I don't need it. The higher performing someone is, the more likely they are to come in for coaching, not the other way around. A lot of people think coaching is for people who kind of need remedial help, they need to be brought up, whatever. Top performers are always, always, always looking for coaching in multiple areas. So when we get guys in that are from like the Navy SEALs, Green Berets and stuff, some of the guys at boot camp are like, whoa, I didn't expect that, you know? But guys who can get an edge, or guys who are looking for an edge, top performers, if they can get an edge, they'll always go for it. It's the guys at the bottom that would rather sacrifice that edge in order to keep up this facade, or so they think that they're above it, when really the joke's on them because their friends were just telling me how badly they needed this, and then they show up and make fun of it and me, and I'm just like, wow, you're kind of a pathetic character, and I feel bad for those guys, but not bad enough to waste my time trying to convince them to get help with it.
No, no, of course, and Jeff, like, you and I have talked about constantly numerous times on the show, whether we're not on the show, it's that, you know, the thing I love the most about, you know, looking at The Arch on the website, listening to the show on Podcast One, is that it's no BS. You basically say how it is, which most people don't. Everybody feels like they need to coddle everybody sometimes, and, you know, you don't want to hurt their feelings. So the thing with most people, I feel, always have an issue, and I've had issues with this myself sometimes, is confidence. Mm-hmm. And I always felt that, you know, either the misconception when I was younger is either born with it or born without it. Is confidence something that can be taught to somebody?
Yeah, that's a really good question and a common misconception. I'm trying to make this chair as least amount of squeaky as possible.
Yeah, we provide the guests with the utmost amount of comfortness yes. when they do the show.
I'm finding I'm losing the battle against the squeaky
but his
chair.
Posture is superb right now.
Yes, it is. And I that's do what feel they teach you over there, posture.
That's right. I'm sitting very...
So when you're done and you're walking taller, it's... You know,
it's confidence.
It's confidence.
I expect you guys to be taking notes on my posture. the confidence question. So this is a really good question because this is a very, very common misconception that even I had, and I think everyone at some point has just thought.
At all stage of our lives, one of us, whether you're a teenager or even an adult or a kid, you've had this problem with confidence, like, oh, no, I just don't have it.
Yeah, it can be taught, and of course, the chief critic on the internet or the web troll is going to go, well, of course you would say that because that's what you say you teach, but really I know better because I'm not confident and blah, blah, blah. The reason that, well, we know from science that confidence can be taught, and I won't bore you guys with that because it's like we don't really need to, you either believe me or you don't. But the reason that people think it is something you're born with is because different people learn it at different periods of time or never learn it. And it's always a product of experiences and environment. So the reason that some people think, well, you know, it's something that's inborn because I remember confident kids in elementary school. I remember confident kids in whatever age that they are thinking of. Usually, if we could go back in time or if we could go back with really good memory, what we'll find is there was some confluence of circumstances that allowed that person to build confidence. And I have no doubt there's probably different genetics at play here. Like some people are extroverts and that works with whatever circumstances they have. And I'll give you an example. There's a kid that was super popular in my elementary school, and he seemed super confident, and he seemed super cool. But what was the deal? Okay, his parents were pretty laid back and cool. He had an older brother, and then that guy, in turn, had a very much older sister. The older sister sort of raised the two younger brothers, but she was probably like 16 at the time, so she was pretty laid back and cool. His older brother would always have friends over. They had a big house, so everybody was always at their house. So imagine, the kid's name was Matt, so imagine your older brother, Bo, has all of his friends over who are infatuated with your sister and all of her friends who are also over there. So you're this young kid who's like 8, 10 years old, hanging out with older kids, learning about what they're learning about. There's sleepovers 3 nights a week, right? With guys and girls in different parts of the house. Everybody's horsing around and having fun. You're going to know all the cool stuff, and you're going to be the coolest kid, even though you're the dorky little brother to these people. And he was tall, and he was able to be kind of athletic, right? So you have that mix of circumstances. This is a person who's going to be pretty damn confident, right, when he gets to school. So since he's acting confident and hyperactive as hell, everybody's like, oh, well, this person is the leader of the cool kids, right? But he was also nice to everyone. So even the people who normally wouldn't like the popular kid was like, Matt's awesome. Everybody loved him, right? He was in Boy Scouts and he was also on the soccer team. You know, it's not to like. So when you look at that, it's easy to go, oh, yeah, he was a confident kid and I wasn't, right? Because I was quiet and red. Well, why was I quiet and red? Well, I'm an only child. I lived far away from everyone else. My parents were at home a lot, or when, even when they weren't, I was in latchkey with like a bunch of other rowdy kids that I wasn't really used to. Naturally, I'm kind of an introvert, which doesn't mean shy. It just means my me time is like sacred and I need to chill. So I looked a little bit less confident socially, but I wasn't not confident in other areas. I just didn't have social confidence. So if you look at yourself, if you think I'm unconfident, maybe it's general, but usually confidence, I should say always, confidence is situational. So that's why you see somebody who's like a nerdy guy become a bartender, get really good at mixing craft cocktails, and behind that bar, he's the fucking man. But if you take that guy and you're like, hey, do you want to go to this wrestling gig with a bunch of Victoria's Secret chicks? He's like, yeah, but I'm not going to say two words the entire night, and I'm going to sit there with my hands in my pockets because I'm going to be freaking out. But if that crowd of girls went to his bar, he'd be like dancing around, throwing bottles up in the air, laughing, smiling, and because that's his kingdom. So if you think about it, most of us have a time where we're confident about something. Like, I kind of wish that back in the day I'd had a radio microphone in front of me every time I was hanging out with anyone, because I would have been like, I'm super confident in the situation, right? Just like athletes, those guys, you can get an athlete or a rock star, and if you put them in the right situation, they will look like a chump. And if you put them, of course, in other situations, they won't. And so you look at guys like athletes and people who are, quote unquote, naturally confident, and they're never born with it. There's always a time at which they weren't. There are still times at which they are not. It's just that they have situational confidence that tends to be an advantage for them. And typically we build those at a younger age. So when we are older guys, like we are now, I'm 36. How old are you guys?
Soon to be 35 in a couple days.
Okay. So we're a little bit older, right? So if we haven't built that level of confidence in either many situations or something that's now become a general confidence socially, it seems like some people are born with it and some people aren't, because the guys that you're thinking of when you think of confident examples, they've been like that since kindergarten, first grade, third grade, whatever example you're thinking of. So you just assume, well, he's a kid. He must have just been that way. He's just born with it. You don't hear about the time where the guy that you met now, for me, for example, who's confident in a lot of situations, if you looked at me in like ninth grade or eighth grade, you'd be like, what the hell? This weirdo is never going to amount to anything. And, you know, I was a bad kid in middle school. Like, there were teachers that when I graduated middle school, they either didn't know, some of them didn't know who I was, and the other ones were like, good luck, man. Seriously, really? Take care of yourself. Because they, you know, like the concern, not even like the good luck, buddy, but like the, all right, I'm probably going to see you on the news, bro. So just like, be careful. Like, I remember one of my teachers and my football coach who he liked me but didn't. He was like, just take care of yourself, man. Just be careful. And I remember leaving and going like, what's he talking about? What could go wrong?
I don't want to see you in a newspaper one day.
Yeah. And it was like, oh man, like we failed you, but like we can only help so many people. Yeah. So.
And those looks only hurt whatever least confidence you had at that time anyway.
Yeah. It was kind of like,
wow, I'm isolated from the rest of the world because I'm somewhat special in a negative way.
Yeah, in a negative way. And look, at that time I remember being confused and being like, whatever, I'm pretty smart. Like, what are you worried about? But then looking back at it now, I'm like, I was bad. I was late. I, like, didn't do my homework. I couldn't pay attention. I had trouble focusing. The only reason I even made it out of there was because of the fact that when I did focus, I was good at stuff. So I could, like, kind of ham by on tests. Mm-hmm. But I would never – I was, like, the worst student ever and always getting in trouble. And I'd been in trouble with, like, the FBI because I was doing wiretap stuff. Like, I was, like, a bad kid, you know? And
look where he is now.
And look where I am now. And what was funny was in high school, later, like, 10th grade, I ended up working with the FBI and, like, figuring out how to focus, get a little hands on some Adderall, realize, oh, I can actually focus on stuff, getting straight A's, going to a good school, going to law school. You know, like, that was a turnaround time. In part because I had started working on confidence, but also because I realized, oh, shit, school doesn't work for everybody. This is a situation in which I am not confident, right? So I started to work on situations where I was and started to put myself in there more. Are we still recording, by the way?
Yes,
okay,
we are.
Awesome. Because, you know, we've all been there. We're like, fuck.
Oh, dude, Jordan, listen, all that stuff was cool. Can you remember it?
Yeah. Just do that again. Just take that one more time. Just answer that question again.
Oh, fool me once. Shame on me. Fool me twice. I'm screwed.
Yeah. But I hope that makes sense, right? Like, people have confidence. Almost everybody has confidence in some situations. It just depends on what you're thinking about. And even the, like, nerdiest, self-proclaimed, dorkiest dork in the world might be like, I don't have that. But then if they're like, cool, what do you do for fun? And they're like, Magic the Gathering. Well, okay. Do you feel confident playing that game with your friends? Well, yeah, but that's not what I mean, right?
Yeah.
They're thinking, I'm not confident when I'm in a room full of hot women. Well, okay, that's pretty normal. But it looks like other people are, and they're only thinking about their own problems, right? So, like, if you threw me in front of a bunch of folks at Comic-Con or something, I would be like, what the hell is going on here? And I'd have to fake it.
Yeah.
Same with any athletic pursuit, right? I'm like...
But at least with that, showing up to Comic-Con, you're uncomfortable because it's an uncomfortable setting. At least you have the ability now, which I figured out for myself as I've gotten older, now I'm in my 30s, is that, you know what? It's something new. It's something that I'm uncomfortable with, but I have to leave myself open to being uncomfortable because that's the only way I'm going to learn from that experience.
It's the only way you're going to grow. And it takes a while to realize that that's okay. Because usually you just, there's a kid in all of us that's like, you're in a social situation and you just go, shit, I feel like I'm in ninth grade again.
Yeah.
Like if we were sitting here and.
Especially with girls.
And some great looking gal came in with Stone Cold Steve Austin, we'd probably all be like, all right, don't be a dipshit. Don't be a dipshit right now. Right. Yeah. Even though we're familiar with all of his stuff, and there's no reason for these people to be judgy. There's a ninth grade part of your brain that's going to go, oh, crap. And some of it, like when you get to the level where we what we teach at The Art of Charm is, look, you're not always going to feel confident, but what you can do is exhibit confidence, and eventually that will change. It's a concept called fake it till you make it, and it doesn't work in every industry. A lot of people like to abuse that. It's like if you're doing that in your medical practice, you should go to jail. But if you're doing that because you don't want to look like a dork in front of a bunch of your friends, it's totally cool.
It only works in certain situations.
Yes. You know? So basically we're learning like the meaning of confidence when it's instilled in you. And the thing is, you gotta either, if you don't have it, you need to find it, you need to act on it, you need to, you know, you need to better yourself. But, you know, there's been situations where, for example, like you were talking about, you're walking up, you see a cute girl, but you don't make that eye contact, right? Or for example, and you're like, damn, what would it have just taken me just like giving her a smile or something like that, right? And you look and you regret it, you're like, why? Like for example, like, you see a cute girl, and you're like, you get nervous, like, how can I start a conversation? What can I say? And and one of the things too that I heard that you talk about is body language.
Yes.
How important is body language with confidence, you know, to talk to somebody or like in business?
So body language is massively important. Nonverbal communication in general is massively important. And the reason is because, well, there's a few reasons. One is that your first impression is made nonverbally always. A lot of people think like, all right, I need to start a conversation. What's this thing? What can I say? And it matters far less than people think in large part because you have already been subconsciously adjudged based on your physical appearance. And I don't mean like, does this shirt fit me? Is this shirt wearing me or am I wearing the shirt? No Tim Dunn stuff here, right? Yeah. But like whether or not you have upright and confident posture in your squeaky chair or whether or not you look open, positive, friendly, smiley, outgoing, whatever it is, so the confluence of nonverbal communication, this is something that she has already subconsciously done. And the reason that women are much more adept at looking at this, guys do this too, but the reason that women are much more adept at this is because of evolutionary psychology, where women are worried about their safety at both conscious and unconscious levels. So every time guys are starting a conversation or even around them, their first thought is, am I safe? What's this guy going to do? Is he friendly? Do I want to talk to this person? And again, am I still safe? Like that's constantly pinging. That's like constantly going on in the back of her head is like the security monitor that says like, is this still cool? Okay, cool. Is this still good? So nonverbal communication, that's what they're humans and women especially are primarily relying on for those concerns. The other thing is that nonverbal communication, we're evolved to trust more than words. One, because nonverbal communication evolved before language in the history of humanity, like millions of, you know, whatever years ago. Body language has been around since probably millions of years before language. And also, it's very fucking hard to fake nonverbal communication. Yeah. It is extremely difficult to fake it. And even if you're really good at faking nonverbal communication, you then would have to match whatever you're saying to also match that nonverbal communication. And the people who do that really, really, really well are called actors, and they are loaded, and they don't need to worry about how to start a conversation.
Yes, and they're flooded with emotions too, right. Believe me.
So you come off with the right body language, you get the conversation going, and just get on this. How do you avoid her getting the perception that you're safe, but you can't be that, you couldn't be that boyfriend material? How do you get away?
Talking about the friend zone.
And we're talking about like the friend zone. How do you avoid that? When do you realize, well, yeah, I better make my I better avoid any more, you know, conversation where she thinks like that I'm safe, she wants to have lunch dates and stuff like that. Like, yeah, yeah. Like at
you end up
point,
being like the straight yet gay.
Yeah,
boyfriend.
Exactly. There you go.
You end up or you get the comment, which I've gotten several
you're
times.
You're like a brother
too.
To me.
Oh,
or no.
No.
Why can't I find a guy like you? What do you mean a guy like me? I'm standing right in front of
only
you.
Only taller and has more money. Yeah. And, you
which
know.
Is basically her saying, I see you in a non-sexual way.
And is on iTunes and is on Podcast One.
Yeah. I like you, but I don't like you like I would if you're show is in the top 100. the friend zone is like the cursed area that all guys lament, right? Because what happens is, just to give people a definition of what this is, it's like you like this girl,
it's like purgatory
for some reason, and then suddenly you realize, oh wait a minute, we're close, but she doesn't see me in romance. There's no romantic potential here. How did that happen? And there's a million ways that could have happened. The truth is there was no sexual tension in the beginning of the relationship, most likely, or at least especially at that point. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. And rather than trying to tell people how to get out of it, which is even more complicated than staying out of it in the first place and also harder and less desirable, I think the best thing to do is to teach people how to leverage the friend zone.
There you go.
And because figuring out how to generate sexual tension and banter and all that stuff that we teach at the boot camp is great, but it's not going to lend itself to like a 20-minute radio segment, right? But what we can do is leverage the friend zone. So if you find yourself, because nobody cares about the friend zone if they're not in it yet, right? You're listening to this right now and you're turning up the volume because you're like, oh shit, he's going to tell me how to get Cheryl, right? Or they're like, Jessica, okay, I'm coming for you right after I finish this podcast. And the truth is, leveraging the friend zone is the best thing ever. And what I mean by that is, all right, so Jessica likes you, but she doesn't like you. You're like a brother to her. That's freaking great. So what you do is you say, look, all right, and you don't have to say this out loud or to her, but you're thinking, all right.
Practice in front of a mirror. Yeah.
I am, you know, I mean, you can say this is like internal
dialogue. Your inner monologue,
yeah,
Jeff, okay?
Oh, my inner monologue, okay.
This is like, all right, I'm not going to get this girl. That's okay. There are a ton of women that are going to be suitable for me, that are going to be similar to her, have all these great qualities. Because backing up the truck a little bit, the friend zone often happens when you're like, she's different than every other girl. Look, women are special. They're awesome. But there's so many of them, and us, for example, that you will be able to find someone with similar qualities. And maybe Jessica is a better friend than a romantic partner for you. So just like accept the status quo and let that go for now. So you can go, look, I'm not going to get Jessica. She's not going to be my girlfriend. But Jessica has a bunch of cool friends because she's a really social person. That's one thing I like about her. She's attractive, so a lot of her friends are attractive. And frankly, there's going to be a lot of cool guys chasing her that will eventually be cool enough for me to make friends with some of them, including her future boyfriend, that you should be totally cool with. Because if you're actually friends with her and you're not just trying to bang it, you should be happy that she's happy for real. Even if you are, on the same token, a little bummed that she didn't choose you.
Exactly.
That's okay. Two, she's saying, why can't I find a guy like you? That does kind of hurt in some way. But on the flip side, what she is saying is, look, you have a lot of positive qualities. I just don't see you that way. So if we can fix the problem of generating sexual attention and things like that that are very fixable, and we give that information away for free at the toolbox, on the Art of Charm toolbox that you guys have
keep
have
them busy.
About.
I'm going to take a look at
yeah. It's
your phone right now.
Thearchartofcharm.com/toolbox has like a bunch of hours of shows where it's like banter, nonverbal communication, body language, eye contact, that stuff. That stuff over time will help you generate sexual attention. But look, utilize Jessica for the friend. Like, if she wants to find a guy like you, she's going to be happy to hook you up with somebody else.
Yeah.
And she might be happy to help you shop for clothes that fit better. She might be happy to help you figure out a different hairstyle if that's something that you need. She might go, look, why do you wear the same shoes? Oh, they're comfortable. Look, let's take you shopping. Let's do this. Like, let's figure
she's
out
gonna
how to
pimp you out.
She's going to pimp you out a
probably
little bit.
Probably to the other friend. She thinks highly of you. So she's going to be like, oh, you know.
And what better wingman than a woman, obviously, to be your wingman in that situation to introduce you to more people.
Exactly. And she won't do that if she secretly thinks, or if she thinks that you're secretly pining after it. It's going to make the whole thing uncomfortable. And another reason to drop the friend zone thing and just embrace it is there's it will ruin your friendship, and you have to think strongly about whether or not you want that person as a friend, because you're not going to be able to give somebody an ultimatum like, look, we're either dating or we're not, because she's going to be really hurt. And if that's your situation, just don't pretend to be friends with somebody. No. You wouldn't pretend to be friends with a guy, so don't pretend to be friends with a girl. And that's a tough pill to swallow for guys that are pining after a girl, and most people won't listen, but trust me, it's better that way. The other thing is there's something called covert contracts that most of us have with our female friends, and you need to take a good hard look at yourself and see if you have one of these. And what these are it goes a little something like this. Covert contract, right? A contract that is maybe known by one person but not by the other. And so a classic example of this is, so John and Jessica are friends, but John is in love with Jessica, and she kind of thought maybe that was the case but wasn't really sure, thought they were kind of past that whole thing because they met on Tinder and now they just hang out as friends, right? Well, or they met at school, whatever. Well, every time Jessica comes back from the airport, John picks her up because he stays up late and he doesn't mind, and she likes to tell him about her trips and he likes to hear about her trips, and she's like, this is really cool, and she takes him out for dinner after he picks her up. It's kind of a cool exchange. It's a friendly thing to do. But that's not all that's going on. Jessica thinks that's what's going on, but John's like, if I just keep showing up to the airport and she keeps taking me out, she's eventually going to get it that what kind of guy I am. She's eventually going to see that I'm the guy that's been there the whole time. She's eventually going to get it. .. You know, look, we're going out to dinner. We hang out all the time. Well, kind of, but you're sort of rationalizing that in your head, right, John? So what happens is one day John gets drunk or something like that, and he calls, texts, or is with her at some party, and he's like, what the fuck? And he has a crazy emotional vomiting situation where he's like blurting out how much he likes her and why doesn't she see this, and she's only going to get bad guys. And this is a total fucking surprise to Jessica, right? She's just like, wait, what? I thought we were friends. But meanwhile, they're hanging out at some party and she's flirting with a guy and John fucking loses it, right? Yeah. So that ruins the friendship, which turns out was never there because he was secretly hoping, because he had a covert contract, that this was going to happen. The problem is, not only is that an irreparable...
I'm laughing because I'm just reliving things in my head right now.
Like, shit, that's
man,
what
I've
I
done
did.
That.
and so she, you know, she can never repair that because she's like, oh, crap, we weren't friends this whole time. And he can never go back because he's actually furious with her. Like, he is livid with her because of this, even though it's not her fault, because he's the only party that signed that contract, right? And the problem that John's going to have is that he's probably doing this with a lot of female friends, or he will continue to keep doing this with a lot of female friends, and it will ruin much of his fake friendships because he didn't embrace a friend zone. He simply tried to spray paint another coat of paint on it, and it doesn't work because he didn't put the primer down. There was no sexual tension there. So instead of going, all right, Jessica doesn't like me in that way, but you know what? That's cool. I don't love that, but I can deal with that, and I'm going to work on myself so that I am worthy of getting a girl of what I want, not just hoping that the one that I want eventually sees me for who I think I am, right? Because at the end of the day, sure, some girls will like you, some won't. But if there's a pattern of you not being able to get the women that you want, there's probably some work you need to do on yourself. And most of us do not want to admit that because it's uncomfortable. That truth is uncomfortable. Yeah. Oh, maybe I need to take care of my hygiene and my clothes, or maybe I need to like get it together and become more social and figure out how to do it.
And that's the
life.
Great thing about the boot camp shift, because for example, I'll use the example of exercising, right? I used to go to people and be like, man, this guy's jacked, this guy's a six pack, whatever, that's what I want. Not for a particular female, but like I want that look, because you know everybody worries about body image. And I would go up to people and you learn, you're like, hey, what do you do? What do you do? And I always get the same thing. Well, what I do doesn't necessarily work for what might not work for you. And it's kind of trial and error. The great thing about the boot camps is that you go there and they give you the tools. Because for example, somebody like me, you know, I've only had really, you know, one girlfriend of my life, and you know I'm at 30 now, and I'm beginning to start thinking, okay, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with me, because before that used to be the mindset, that's the worst thing you could do, is say there's something wrong with you. But like there's things I need to work on. But for my situation, for example, is like I don't know where to begin, because there's so much material out there, and some of the material out there you can't really trust too much.
Yeah, of course.
So it's like that's what's the great thing about the boot camps. You can go in there and they'll give you the tools you need to give you the information that you obviously will process yourself to what's better for you.
We tailored. It's not just like here's a lecture with a bunch of info. We'll figure out what's going on with your nonverbals. We'll run you through drills and exercises. We'll videotape you, because you can learn information on the internet. We give away the information on the podcast. Yeah. The information is there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The information is not the important part that's going to be the game changer. It can help you when you apply it, but if information were all you needed, we would all be perfect human beings right now because we have internet.
Yeah, and I got to admit one thing though: when we were growing up and we were dating, it was either go to a club, go to a bar, and now everyone's got that advantage of dating sites.
Yeah,
where was this when we were? You know,
and, I know, right? Shafted,
and we had to do it the hard way. We had to do it the
kids
hard way
these days.
You know,
and just swiping and hooking up.
Right. Like, oh, okay. You know, so I think nowadays it's been much easier if you've been like I'm not saying outcast, but if you've been an introvert and you haven't had a chance to go out, those things have really done a good job. Do you think, like, you can meet the girl of your dreams on a site like that, or you think it's been an improvement in like society for websites and dating sites to be what we know now?
Yeah, I think it's probably a lot easier now for sure. But whether or not it's an improvement is tough, because the attention span ends up. That's the old cliche. Like, if you met a girl at a bar and you guys are both attracted to each other, there's probably a couple other girls in that bar that you're attracted to. There might be a couple other guys that she has seen, but there's not 10,000 within 3 miles or whatever it is in New York, all of whom have like their
print your zip code within this mile frame.
Like they don't. That wasn't exist. So you had the benefit of limited amounts of choice, just like every other human up until 2006 or whenever those things started popping off. Yeah. Right? We're kind of not evolved to deal with this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not a scientist, so I can't really, I mean, I guess technically we do a lot of relationship science at the Art of Charm, but I am no scientist, especially when it comes to apps and statistics. But I would say that our brain, which is constantly, especially the male brain, which is constantly looking like, I want to impregnate all of that.
Right, all of you girls, all right here.
And like, you know.
So if the ladies are listening to the High Spot podcast, they already know what the male brain is thinking.
Yeah,
they
they've known that since
it's primal, it's instinct, exactly.
Look at him and address me with those eyes. Oh.
They know that. This is no news
for
them.
Wait, why did you look at me when you said that?
No, I was looking away. I was looking away.
All right.
So the apps are tough because of that. I think they're tough for guys. But listen, the girls that are on there also have tons of problems, because they're like, these guys are flaky. Like, I've got beautiful female friends that will be on these apps and a guy will talk to them and they'll talk. And she's like, yeah, why don't we, you know, when's this guy going to ask me out? And then he won't. And then finally she'll go, yeah, I hate texting on this thing. You know, why don't we talk about that over a drink sometime? No reply. And I'm like, I would get it if she was like, kind of a weird or ugly, unattractive type woman who's like got a bad attitude, you know, like an ugly person all around. But these are gorgeous women, cute girls that look good in their pictures, that know how to dress, that are funny, that I'm friends with, one of my friends, Lindsay, we like hooked up in high school. She's still one of my really good friends, but like she's on these apps and these guys are like flaking. Like she'll ask them out and they're like, panic mode. And I'm like, okay, it's not your looks. It's not your personality. These guys are just, they're just tripping. So guys and girls on these apps are not matching properly.
Yeah. What do you feel about that?
And so I don't get why.
Didn't mean to interrupt you there, but what do you feel about that thing where most guys were like, I always got the inclination from my experiences, and some have been positive, some have been negative, that guys always need to tend to chase. And when a woman, because I remember my first girlfriend, she, like, I just met her, wanted to be friends with, hey, introduce myself, say, you know what, she's cute. Might as well just go up and say hello. At least I could say I did that theoretically. Right. And then on the end, she was more of the aggressor. And in the end, I kind of found that weird. Is it more like instinctively us as guys aren't used to women making the first move because what, it might make paint them in a bad picture?
There is evolutionary psychology that supports that. So one of the things I told my friend who was having trouble with the apps was don't ask the guys out. You've got to make them think it's your or it's their idea. So instead of, hey, how about we talk about that over a martini this weekend, say something like, it's so hard to text. We can maybe talk about this at some point or later on, or like what's going on in Detroit this weekend or whatever. This is back home. I'm from Detroit. And it's like, get him to go, oh yeah, there's a music festival downtown. Why don't we go to get like some obvious lead in to where she's probably going to say yes, you know? And that's important because guys do need to feel like they're making the choice. Although what we do know from the world of biology is that females are always the selectors in the end. Yeah. They make the final choice. But what needs to look like it's happening is that we're up there. Males present themselves and females choose. That's the technical term, like peacocks, male peacocks.
Oh, my God. I was about to say that. We're the peacocks.
Right.
Like the other guys.
We present
you got to let me roar. You got to let me fly.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And so guys need to feel like they've had the opportunity to do that before they get selected. Otherwise, they feel like, well, wait a second. This is a female that biologically must have a lower selection value because she chose me before I presented. And none of this is conscious. Like, we're not sitting here going, well, since she asked me out, I'm automatically less attracted to her. That's not what's happening. What's happening is she asks us out and we're like, that's awesome. And then 2 dates later, we're like, I don't know why. I'm just not really, I don't know what the deal is. I'm just not into it. You know, and then women are like, what the hell? I did all the work and he's still flaked. Like, what the hell's going on here? So the tip for women is, and for guys, is don't make them do it. It's better to ask a little earlier, I would say, if you think she's going to do that. That way, at least you kind of preempt that. And for women who are listening, if there's probably some female wrestling fans that are checking this out, or the word can travel down through the word of mouth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Make the guy think it's their idea by being a little bit more vague, and then we probably won't catch on that you had that planned all along. Like, oh, is there anything going on this weekend? My friend just flaked on me, and I want to find something cool to do. And then the guy's like, yeah, why don't we go out? And you're like, okay, duh. Yes, of course. Why not? But meanwhile, he is a guy who's afraid of rejection, should have asked you earlier and didn't. So you kind of have to drop the hanky as a girl. Got to drop the hanky. You know, you drop the handkerchief and the guy picks it up and he's like, I'm a gentleman. And she's like, yeah, I gave you that opportunity. Don't front.
Nice, nice. Here with Jordan Harbinger from The Art of Charm. You can catch it on Podcast One and iTunes. And he's just gracing us here.
With
his presence. A few more minutes here. So we talked about the relationship aspect. Anything else, Brian, you want to get into?
Well, the thing that I was also interested in, too, is with when I'm reading up all on your website, and something you keep bringing on, because I've looked at all your interviews you do on YouTube too, and just love listening to it. Some of the things are, what I find more interesting is you talked about body language, how you studied it, right?
Yes.
For me, using the example in terms of exercising, right? And I have to look at myself, right? What do I read that I apply is not working? When you studied it, were there certain things when you studied about body language that you realized, hey, I'm doing the incorrect thing. I actually need to improve myself. Is it more that, I need to fix myself first before I can teach this to other people?
We didn't teach for a long time because I was like, I'm not a coach or an instructor. Like, I don't know how to do that stuff. And the only reason we started coaching is because guys who were listening to the show were like, no, you don't realize it. You're better than the coaches that we've hired at my company to teach this, or no, I've already hired 5 different coaches and none of them are as good as the free material that's on your show. You guys know more than you think you do. And we're like, oh, okay. So I was doing everything wrong. I was quiet. I looked at the ground when I walked. I didn't make eye contact. I didn't smile that much because there was tension in my body all the time. I had tension in my shoulders, so I looked uptight. I was introverted and shy some of the time. When I was outgoing, I was usually too loud to overcompensate. I mean, I was doing like everything wrong, and that doesn't even include all the mistakes I made with like dress and style and stuff like that, because I was like, oh, well, women want rich guys, so I'm going to dress in button downs and Banana Republic chinos, even though I'm like at the beach. Oh, you know, like I looked like huge dork. I looked like a huge dork. Like, yeah, I mean, you and me would have been hanging out with like an ill fitting polo and like some Dockers, and we're like got our leather, brown leather shoes on, and we're like, yeah, hey,
I would have been to Jordan. This is a bad commercial we're doing right now. Yeah. It's like a bad infomercial.
I remember hanging out in as late as college, because I started all this stuff when I was after college and in law school. I remember me and my friend, we were like all spiffed up, shaved, you know, like hair gel in, and we had our our polos on or whatever, or maybe button downs and our Dockers on. And we walked by these.
Jeff was a big polo guy.
We walked. Oh, we well. Every guy was a polo guy. Like, if you're still a polo guy,
chain?
I'm sorry, but
like the silver chain.
I did have a silver chain.
I
like
to bling out.
It's
cliche.
You guys already know. Damn it. And we walked by these like sorority girls. Not even like fashion model chicks from New York. I mean, like sorority girls, regular women. And they go, "Is it polo and khaki night, guys?" And we just like went to the bar alone, and we're like, "We're obviously not talking to any females tonight. We are total chumps." And I remember that thought going through my head, and looking at my buddy, and he just goes, "Fuck! Like we're just dorks. Like that's the we're just dorks. Yeah. That's what's like, that's our life. Like we just accepted it at that point, and it was so depressing."
From what you know now, compared to what would you do to the Jordan back then, if you could say that to yourself now, and see, would you slap yourself
there
around?
There would have been some slapping.
What's wrong with you, man?
But also, I would have been like, "Look, you don't need to fit in. You can do your own thing." Yeah. And also, I probably, honestly, I don't know if I would have gone to college because it was like a massive waste of time and money, given what
I'm
doing
now. What we're doing now in our field of communications, like we could just skip that and start.
Yeah, because nobody cares about your test scores or what you score on your math exam or pre-calculus.
A lot of the guys that I know that are big in radio and entertainment, even just like doing morning shows on FM in San Francisco, they went to college for like a half semester, and they're like, "I keep having to leave my anthropology 102 class because I got to go interview Will Smith. Wait a second, why the hell am I in this class to get a degree in communications when I can't attend the lectures done by the guy who's never had a job in my field because I'm interviewing Will Smith and I have to do like the night drive, like evening drive show in LA? Like, this is bullshit."
Speaking of Will Smith, how'd you think of that one he did with Hitch when he was
I love that movie. And
how accurate is that? How
Well, when we were dating coaches, how about I break something? When we were dating coaches, which we're not anymore, like right now we're teaching mostly like business networking and things like that. And a lot of guys come through for dating, don't get me wrong. Yeah. But when we were doing the dating stuff, AJ, who's my business partner, his friend wrote that movie in large part about what we were kind of doing. So Hitch is accurate in that it's not accurate in that he was teaching Kevin James how to get one girl. It was accurate in that he was like, "Look, nonverbal communication, you know, you got to be funny." But the parts that were wrong, where he was like trying to teach Kevin James to be cool, when really, if he were really doing what we do at AOC, he would have taught Kevin James what Kevin James learned in the end, which was be your confident self. But not just be yourself with the confidence added in, with the cool banter, the fun personality, like all of this stuff, and cutting out all the putsy stuff would have been fine. So it's not super accurate, but what was accurate was that Will Smith used to be this like dorky guy and then started studying all this stuff and then figured out all the attraction switches with women. Now, the where Hollywood gets it wrong is the girl Ava Mendez somehow is like, "All this fake stuff doesn't work. We're just going to be real with each other." And the truth is that part, that would not have happened. Yeah. What would have happened is Will Smith would have been continuing to be himself because he was that cool guy at the end, right? He had changed his entire life and he was actually quite happy with what he was doing. And he would have ended up with Ava Mendez anyway, and she wouldn't have probably given a crap that he had practiced it and used to be a dork in college. She just would not have cared. She would have thought that was cute and that would have been the end.
Honestly, kind of like everything he was, he kind of like broke down to chase her, and everything that he professed
Well, in the movie, everything he tried to do didn't work because at the end of the day, it was about his own inner confidence and then being real with each other.
Right. So what he would have done instead of teaching him how to dance,
Hollywood,
he would have just taught him everything that he actually had taught himself about how to be a great dude, which is he learned a cooking skill and he had a cool, like, chill apartment and he knew how to get people's attention and he was friendly to. I remember in the beginning, he's like talking to the bartender and he's cool and he knows some of the people in the venue. Yeah. Like, he would have set that up for himself. He would have set up, he had great body language. He was a cool guy. He was nice to everybody. He wasn't a dick. He had integrity. Remember, he wouldn't teach the business guy how to bang the girl and hurt her feelings. Like, he had integrity. He had all these really attractive things. And then Hollywood's like, okay, now let's just make him weirdly teach Kevin James what to say to this girl, which makes no sense and is totally out of character. Yeah. So I noticed that stuff in the movie as being massively inaccurate, but I love the movie because there's not that many movies about somebody who has done what we actually do at The Art of Charm and has actually turned himself into somebody like we all have, you know? AJ was a cancer biologist and a cool guy. I was a dork and still am a dork, but,
any,
you know,
any coincidence the last name? Are you guys related?
So what happened is when we were starting this, AJ was a scientist. Uh-huh. He, I guess technically still is, right? So he was a cancer biologist and he had government grants to go to grad school. And we're like, we're starting the show and he's like, I can't have my last name on anything because if they find me, I could lose government grants because I'm not allowed to have outside income. And PhD programs are funny. Like, they don't want me doing other stuff that looks bad for the university. So look, we figured no one's going to listen to this, but this is the internet age. So we'll keep our names off of it. And I was like, I don't even care. I'm good. I'll do it. I mean, I don't care if my boss is like, I had already kind of put my name on there and thought, like, to hell with it. Yeah. No one's going to know. No one's going to care. Nobody listens to podcasts. So he was like, all right, I got to pick a last name. And he came up with me along with me, like, these ridiculously terrible names. Like AJ Rockefeller was one of them. And I was like, I can't, as your friend, I cannot, as your friend, let you do that to yourself. Yeah. And he's like, cool. So we were like, look, but we got to air the show tonight. Like, we have our launch ready on the, and the website's going up. Like, what do you want to do? And he's like, oh, man, I don't know. So I was like, dude, look, man, we're close buddies. We'll just say brothers from another mother. You can use my last name.
Yeah. Cool.
And we were like, we're never going to have to think about this. Like, we've already spent too much time thinking about this. Fast forward 10 years, we're like, shit, man, we really should have spent an extra 15 minutes thinking of, like, another pseudonym for you to use.
Rockefeller sounds right about, good right about now.
It's,
you know?
Yeah, but it was, like, so silly, right? I was like, you're not a rapper, dude. Yeah. So you're not allowed to. You cannot get away with that.
So we're gonna wrap up soon here. I know, but question for you, I want to personally thank you though, because
for sure
coming on to, you know, check out your website and in time when I really needed to, you know, get advice, you know, thank you, because I mean, your fan mail thing, which is really good that you allow people to do that, is awesome. So, you know, I want to thank you for that personally and for you coming here and talk to us. One last thing though, as far as the business aspect, when you do, for example, what I was following before was The Secret, if you're familiar
with
that.
Yeah, I'm familiar with The Secret.
And, you know, I did the whole, you know, your little diagram and you put your visuals
went
to a vision board. Yeah. That's what it is. And, you know, it's a nice concept. It's nice to believe into something. And as we're wrapping up on confidence being the theme, what is your opinion on that? Because I know it's like when people search things, you know, you can come to The Art of Charm, you can to the Academy, you can look at the free things that he offers you.
Well, as soon as we're done with this, I'm signing up.
and you can go to, you know, and The Secret comes up and it shows you about positive thinking and positivity. What are your thoughts on that?
So The Secret, I will say unequivocally, is a scam. And I know people are going to be like, what? But it's a scam. Look, one of the guys, I could probably do a whole show about this, but one of the guys went to jail for killing people at one of his sweat lodge retreats. He got out of jail. He, by the way, couldn't afford bail because he was broke. Mm-hmm. This is the guy who frickin' was in the movie, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're broke, how's that vision board working out for you, bro? Also, the idea that you can visualize Ferraris and all these different things is completely fabricated. There's no science behind it. Anybody who's appeared in the movie that says there is science behind it has been thoroughly debunked. They've been sued into oblivion.
Wow.
And the people that aren't totally scammy that have been in the movie have spent years distancing themselves from being in that movie.
Okay.
It's fraudulent. And when people have actually managed to get those guys in for an interview and talk about, well, what's the difference between positive thinking and just trying to get, because one of the criticisms is, well, it's just positive thinking. And they go, no, you know, of course you have to take action to get what you want in life. And then we said, this is an interviewer that went and interviewed him, well, what's the difference between trying to go get something and achieving it versus your brand of trying to go get something and achieving it, plus you have a vision board or something. And then he literally goes, well, when you look at it that way, I guess it's the same thing. In other words, there's no difference between visualizing something in the secret according to what they're saying. So either they're saying you visualize something and it magically happens, yeah, and they claim they're not doing that. So since they're not claiming that, what they're saying is try to go get something and you might get it. And that is a fucking obvious point in life, yeah, that it exists for, yeah, every human, yeah, being since the dawn of time. So what that means is the concepts therein are either a scam, visualize it and it'll magically appear, or completely obvious and not worth spending any, yeah, time or any money actually exploring at all. And if anybody needed any proof, just look at the fact that the guy went to jail and for, yeah, murder and, you know, there's not, and was broke and couldn't, yeah, afford his legal defense. And I think we kind of have like, I don't know how many more nails we need to put, yeah, in that coffin. So I would say The Secret is designed to scam people who really want to achieve something or feel desperate out of money. I'm not trying to be insulting because you made a vision board, but it is a scam.
I was open to trying out something, yeah, and you don't, yeah, want to see. And I think too.
That was the first step for Jeff. He tried something, even, yeah, though at the, yeah, end, yeah,
that didn't work out. Yeah. I don't fault anybody for giving it a, yeah, shot. I do fault people for holding on to it and going, no, it's real. And anybody, yeah, who says, yeah, it isn't, you're just trying to bring negative energy into my life. That's what cults and, yeah, scams do. They isolate you from smart people, yeah, who have critical thinking, yeah, skills.
Jordan should just drop the mic now. You can't. Boom. Just drop. Don't drop it, actually, because it's expensive. Yeah. But that was amazing. You couldn't think of a better way of doing that. But again, we are a wrestling podcast. I need to ask you, Jordan, real quick, as we're about, yes, to let you go. Thank you so much, obviously, for coming in.
For sure.
Wrestling. Who's your favorite wrestler back then? You mentioned Stone Cold.
Yeah.
Do you still watch it?
My favorite wrestler is a guy you might have heard of named Andre the Giant.
Really? Ooh,
he's not around, yeah, anymore, though.
No.
He was a bad guy in WrestleMania 3, and Hulk Hogan beat him at the end.
Jeff made a statement, though, that Andre the Giant, not, you know, the biggest attraction in sports in general, Brock Lesnar. You know Brock Lesnar,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, sure.
Would you think he's the equivalent now, where he's that thing where you need to see him?
I don't know. In this generation, at least? I don't know enough about him. I liked the Bushwhackers. Do you remember, mm-hmm, those guys?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
We
dressed like that for Halloween.
And who's the guy? Was it Jim Duggan? He had like overalls and a lumberjack shirt and long hair.
Oh, Jim Duggan.
And he would like
USA.
His action figure did this.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Gary Vaynerchuk, you might know, has a action figure of him in his office. Uh-huh. The other guy that I didn't like, Rowdy Roddy Piper. I didn't like that guy. I don't know why. I didn't like Jake the Snake. I didn't like the Macho Man. I thought he was annoying.
Really?
I know that's
Jeff's favorite.
Everybody loves the Macho Man, and I was like, meh.
See, it's relationship experts. I think you should put Ric Flair as your guy that you guys want to achieve, because that guy was just
the Nature Boy.
So everyone should. Yeah, there you go. That should.
He has a podcast.
Oh, he has. Everyone has a podcast. I mean, I think the janitor over here has a podcast over here too. So,
by the way, we gotta get out of his closet.
Yeah, he's got to sweep over here. Yeah. No, nice. But what I like about wrestlers, the bad guys, is that even if they're faking the confidence, It's that confidence. It's like they're acting.
They're kind of actors anyway.
You want to have like, wow, I kind of want to be like that kind of guy.
Jordan, honestly, don't we all want to be a bad a little bit?
We kind of want to be the bad guy. Yeah. And the thing is with Andre the Giant, I heard he was super nice.
Oh yeah,
which you have to be, or you're going to be a very lonely giant.
And could get any chick you wanted too.
Which is funny because I remember him being pretty gross in that black singlet. He was pretty gross. But the thing is, back then I was a little kid, and wrestling at that point I think was geared mostly towards kids anyway. Yeah, yeah. And so
it's kind of reverted that way now in this day and age. He's back to kids.
Yeah, yeah. And he could be scary, but he can't be actually scary. People don't want to watch it. So I remember being like really just nail biting and hoping Hulk Hogan beat Andre the Giant, but I really liked Andre the Giant too, so I had mixed feelings. And it's funny that you asked me that.
So did you watch WrestleMania 3 where he body slammed Andre the Giant?
I did. I watched WrestleMania 3.
Detroit, of course.
I had it.
Were you there?
Oh, was it there?
Yeah, it was in Pontiac.
Oh my God, I didn't know that.
It was in the Pontiac Silverdome.
I had it on VHS.
Yes, I remember.
And it's probably still
exactly.
It's probably like the only tape I had forever.
Coliseum Video.
I might have to like download and rewatch that. And I'm not a big wrestling fan, but I would rewatch WrestleMania 3. Yeah. One thing that I thought was funny is I was watching something about Alice Cooper the other day, and I remember that match on WrestleMania 3 with Andre the Giant and Hulk Hogan. And I remember Alice Cooper saying, "I wouldn't miss WrestleMania 3 for all the snakes in Brazil."
Exactly.
Remember that?
Jake the Snake, yeah.
And that's all I remember from my entire childhood.
It's entertainment and wrestling, hey, brings it all together. Brought Jordan here with us.
That's right.
So, again, Jordan, thank you so much. Jordan Harbinger from The Art of Charm. Follow him on Twitter at
The Art of Charm.
On Podcast One, where I, you know, am a huge listener now. I constantly follow it. Thank you so much, man.
Thanks, man.
Expect my name on the boot camp because I'm going to sign right now.
You got it.
He won't promise you to be a limousine riding, jet flying, wheeling, dealing, kiss stealing son of a gun, but he will, you know, promise
help you be
that
the best person you possibly can be, which is what The Art Charm is all about.
Yeah. Jordan, thank you so much.
You got it, brother. Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
And a special thanks goes out to Jordan Harbinger. Again, catch him on Twitter at The Art of Charm, right?
Yeah.
And also you go to his website, The Art of Charm as well. He gives a lot of information for free. If you want to listen to a show, go to Podcast One as well. A lot of great shows on Podcast One too. Hopefully maybe one day the Highspot Podcast will be on there. You never know. But again, you guys can catch us on Twitter every single time at Highspot Podcast as well. Brain Stew Radio Network. Shout out to them too. You can download
Hamill.
The show.
And, your man, Hamill.
Definitely. Moving on to iTunes as well. And before you know it, YouTube channel. And we will very soon be putting faces behind the names of the voices as well. And I apologize to everybody who's going to see my ugly mug. But again, hey, this is how you progress, right, Jeff?
Oh, I know. But again, once again, shout out to Jordan Harbinger from The Art of Charm. Quite honestly, man, enlightening us too, because I'm enlightened. I really am.
Well, that's just enlightened. It's just great to sit down with somebody who's so down to earth like Jordan is. And, you know, he's busy. He does a lot of things, a lot of media obligations. And for him to take time out of his day, Jeff and I, we can't begin to say as many thank yous as there can be, because, you know, it just shows the kind of person Jordan is, and willing to, you know, come out on the show and talk with us for a few minutes, as he graciously did, and really just having a flow. Jeff, I could have kept going.
Oh, I know. It was a really good interview. We could have kept on going too, but hey,
especially when we start talking about wrestling.
And he turned it to wrestling. Exactly. How can we not get a guest, even if they don't know about wrestling, or they don't talk about wrestling, or it's not in their genre, or anything? You could tell that Jordan hadn't watched in a long time, but he remembers Andre.
I believe, without a doubt in my heart, man, no matter if you're not a huge fan of it as you grow up into adulthood, but somewhere down the line, you've seen wrestling before.
Yeah.
As a kid growing up, you know, we're not going to date ourselves, but again, it's always been part of it, whether you're watching on VHS, where you're watching now on YouTube, or you're watching on the network, free plug there, guys. It's always part of it, so it's always good to see other people's perspectives of it, and I'm sorry, man, he really didn't like the Macho Man Randy Savage, but you know what? He's still number one in your heart, though.
No, definitely, and again...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And again, this will not be the last time we talk to Jordan,
no,
of course.
He
will join us eventually in the future, but once again, guys, listen, man, not a plea, but just telling you guys, listen, look in the mirror, swallow your pride, and hey, look, if I need some tips, we're giving you free tips here, free tips. And Jordan Harbinger is really great with it, and he wants to make you a better person. So, hey, listen, you got to start somewhere, and why not here on the High Spot Podcast?
Exactly. When you want to improve, you always have to admit there's something to improve in. When the moment you start thinking you know everything, then you're on this show, the High Spot Podcast.
Which denial is just a river in Egypt.
And for my tag team partner, Jeff Martin, I am Brian Berger. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew. You guys have been listening to the High Spot Podcast. Guys, don't forget to catch us every single week when we can, also on Brain Stew Radio Network. And don't forget that when you're listening to this show, your life is just too sweet.